We good. We come to my own. I don't get it. You know, and it's a little bit off of this, but it is has to do with us Black people. You know, we talk about legacy organizations, and you can't really talk about Black legacy organizations without talking about HBCUs. You know, and unfortunately, I had an opportunity to go to Howard campus a couple of days ago. And I really don't get this situation at all. Like, I am so completely lost. You know, I looked, went to a campus and seen young Black men, young men and women sleeping in tents, sleeping in buildings, talking, giving me blow by blows of how there's mold in their rooms, how they don't even have Wi-Fi, how they're paying $50,000 to do online classes, how people are just, some of them have been told to come to the campus because they had living and they didn't have nowhere for them to live and they have to sleep in cars. Some of them talking about how the meal prep is so disgusting that you wouldn't even eat it if you was in prison. Like, it was embarrassing because, you know, as a young boy hearing about HBCUs, I never went to one, but I have a lot of friends and family who have been to HBCUs, and I watched School Days, and I wanted to be part of that. You know, I wanted to go to HBCU. So to see that this is the experience of young freshmen and a lot of them saying this, we don't have anything else. We can't fail here. You know, like they're saying that they're not even giving their courses properly. They don't have the opportunity to excel. They've given up everything. Their mother took out the loans. They took out, put liens on their homes, all type of things to be able to come to this experience and to see that this is what they're going through. They had, some of them had tears in their eyes. We had tears in our eyes just listening to the story. And I really just don't get how the administration at Howard allowed this situation to get to this. You know.
Well, let me say that there's a few things on that. Howard's administration, of course, they have heavy, 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 heavy load and burden that they have to answer to as it relates to the conditions of the students. Absolutely. Even if they feel that some of it is misunderstandings, overblown. I've heard all types of responses. They need to speak to it. They need to speak to the students directly, not try to isolate one or two students, but to speak to all the students in an open format that gives them, the students, the opportunity to ask questions, to bring grievances, and that puts the administration in a place where they will respond to what they can respond to, where they will be able to hear and hear without animosity and a jerk to try to, you know, well, we're going to silence you by having you thrown out of school. It would be best for them to show up and get their sleeves rolled up and get into what is happening with the students and walk alongside them to try to fix some of these issues. So with that being said, the reason why I suggest that the administration sort of roll up their sleeves and get in there with Howard is because all of it, everything that's happening is not their fault alone. We have a problem with the funding, the real funding. Yes, granted, $50,000, it's a lot of money from each student for the semesters. But if you go to predominantly white institutions, they are receiving more money and more support from the outside community, which are rich folks, particularly rich white folks with endowments to help these schools succeed. And the resources that they receive from the government is completely different. At HBCUs, they are suffering severely from underfunding and from the disrespect that continues to happen over and over for Black institutions within our society and by our government, and the fact that there are too many people out here who do not see the need to educate and make comfortable Black students. So to be hostile towards the students, to me, is a lack of foresight, and it's ignorant, because really they could be coming together to show that these are some of the challenges that HBCUs go through. But the problem is that we are often wanting to put up a wall and to blame the victims rather than to understand that this is a problem that has to be worked through. Mold has to be worked on regardless of who is responsible for it. And if Covaris, which is the company that owns and operates most of the buildings. So people need to understand that at Howard and other schools, they do not own and operate all of the housing buildings, that there are other entities that have been bought in to do that because of the lack of funding within these institutions. And Covaris has not done a good job just trying to clean buildings and not actually doing the renovations. It's criminal, it's wrong, and the students need to be supported. Their voices need to be uplifted. But I think this is also a good time to get into the real layers of what's going on with HBCUs, Black institutions, Black educational institutions, and to be able to see not where you can just blame one entity or the other, but to look at the entire problem and to see how our government is also failing Black students in these colleges.
It's a fact, man. You know, that was one of the things that the kids taught. We sat and had, a closed forum inside the auditorium in Blackburn, in which, we just listened to their grievances, and they have a whole plan. And Covaris was one of the places that they talked about. And they talked about also how the administration and how, how it has a contract with Covaris that they could have broken, but because they didn't want to lose money, they allowed this to continue on. So as much as Covaris is responsible, the fact that Howard University and who's in charge of those, the board members and everyone involved in that situation, president, everyone involved in not breaking this contract, is when they see that, it's not being handled properly, they also have to take some responsibility. And like you said, they should be sitting out there with the kids saying, none of our kids should have to sleep in rooms with mold in it, So
I mean, period. Exactly. They should be saying, they should be together with the students saying, this is outrageous.
Yeah.
But what's happening instead is that every single day, the story is getting worse for the administration. Now I saw that the president, they have a sign, they got a big old poster, and they have the president, his picture it says,
I got it.
What? Oh, you have, yeah. So unfortunately, that's what's happening because there is a level of hostility that, it's unnecessary. But they'll figure it out.
They got this sign all over. Once again, man, this was a dope show. Listening to Topeka just reinvigorated a little bit of energy for me. Being formerly incarcerated means I got to do a little bit more. She's out here, all of these programs and, paying it forward. We want to appreciate her for coming on the show. And we praying for Julius, man. I really believe deep in my heart that, this hearing is going to come and, his stay of execution will result in him actually being released. I really believe that. I don't see any other option in this situation. So shout out to Tiffany for updating us with that. And shout out to his family and friends and Irv Rowland. Everybody who's been supporting him, everybody who's been on the front line, grassroots, law, and everybody, man. Shout out to y'all, man, for the work that y'all doing out there. So that brings us to an end of another number one podcast. Number one podcast in the world. Brings us to another show that we end. And I want to appreciate y'all, everybody who's been supporting us. I always say we number one, but we gradually moving there. People are definitely being engaged and people stop me on the street saying how much they love this podcast. Just know that we appreciate you. If you have any suggestions, tell us things that you want to see, you want to hear, things you don't like, things you love, how much you hate me or love me, whatever. I take all of it, man. We want all of the feedback. Go to Street Politicians Pod. You can leave suggestions there on Instagram for anything that you want to see or hear. You know, if you like Tamika's hair today, you can let her know. You know, we want all of everything you got, man. So once again, I'm not gonna always be right. Tamika Mallory will not always be wrong, even though most of the time when it's between me and her, she will. But we will both always, and I mean always, be authentic.
Yeah, peace.
Salute.
Listen to Street Politicians on the Black Effect Network on iHeartRadio.
And catch us every single Wednesday for the video version of Street Politicians on iWomen.com.